not. So what I'd like to do today, this is Japan, Japanese 7A. We're okay with that, right? And the this orientation is a really important session. Please listen carefully today for your grade and for making the class work for you. I'll be doing the orientation on the class, and I'm going to give some brief comments about just sort of a historical overview, and that's what's on tab for today. Those of you with enrollment issues, I'm going to try to finish class about 5 minutes early and then have you fill out pink cards during those last 5 minutes, and then you can talk with me after class about that if you're waitlisted and you're interested in joining the class. This is going to be only waitlisted people this time. If you're already enrolled, you do not need to fill out one of these. So my name's John Wallace. You can find all that stuff. You know, we used to have to say those things, but you can find out more about me than I want you to find out about me online in 5 minutes. So I don't know why we do that anymore. Summer's over. This is my first class. This has got to be pretty close to your first class, unless you had one of those awful early sections. Who had awful early section today? Ooh. It's a shocker. Yeah. Okay. Well, at least it cooled down. I don't know if that's good or not, but it did cool down. Okay, so I'm going to read the roll just to see who's in the room. I'm going to do this this time, and I'm going to do it next session. I might do it another session after that. It's not too critical in this case because we don't have that overfull class, but I still like to know who's here because I want to know who heard my orientation comments, because I'm going to hold you to those as we go on. And if you're in the room and you've heard me, then you're stuck, okay? You could come back later. Step out and come back later if you don't want to be stuck. Alcaraz. Thanks. And if you'll just kind of like yell it out, then I'll keep my eyes here instead of going back and forth. Later I'm going to learn your face. I already got you. Is that? We'll talk about names later. Arimoto. Bloom. Here. Burl. Here. Sai. Amy Sai, or is it Kai? Here. Is it Sai? Sorry, I spoke when you spoke. Kai, okay. Thanks. Kasserina. Yeah. Chang. Emily. Hey, hi there. And then Rachel Chang. She's ahead of you on the line. We'll have to, oh no, your first names are okay. Chen Durr. And Chen Jennifer. Okay. Sunny Chen. Wesley Chen. Lillian, thank you for your email. Bora Chung. Evan Cushing. Yeah. Sandy Dow. Yeah. Is it Diao or Dow? Diao. Diao, okay. Ken is it Do? Yeah. Yeah. Karen Deep. Yeah. Is it Deep? Gambardella, Andrew. Gambardella, Andrew. No. Okay. Here's another guessing. Is it gay, she, or is it gee, she? Gay or gee? G. Oh, good. Learn something. Is it she as a first name? Okay. Gonzalez. Gu. Gu. Dirty Gu. Ah. Yes, right? Is it Gu? Gu. Okay, good. Ha, so, ha. That was ha after all. Ha, so. Hall. Hartono? Hartno. Hartono. Daniel. Okay. Annie. Hey, he. I don't usually ask these. It's fun. I'm glad I am. Ho, Jacqueline. Is it Ho? Humphrey, who? Who? H-U, Humphrey. Kenya, Huizo.
Here.
Is it Huizo?
Yes.
Thank you. Brian. Oh, Brian, that doesn't count. You guys ended up... Brian, you're here anyway. Let's see. Ju? J-U. And is it Jew? Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to say what you're waiting for me to say. Hosung Jung. And it's Jung, right? You're not Carl Jung. Okay. Jonathan Kawasaki. Kim Sung. Kong. Jackin. Kong? Is it Kong? Guo? Tammy? Is it Guo? It's Quo, okay. Lan. 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 Laraf. Lee. Randy. Is it Lee? Lee Hyun. Hyun, right? And then I have Lee Yoon as well. Lee Yoon. Okay, Lee Yoon. Is it Yoon? Oh, okay. Okay, it's Eunhae. That's good because that will help us out. And is it Hyun or do you go by Hyun G? Oh, you go by Karen. Okay, we'll be fixing. Yeah. You get to tell me about that next time. Lee, So Hyun. Yes. Whoa, wait a minute. Okay, hold on a second. Okay, Lee, not Song Hyun, but So Hyun. So Hyun, Song Hyun? Okay. Gotcha. That's not, what's your first name? What do you usually go by? Okay, and you? Okay, so that's not going to be a problem, but I'm going to make sure I'm going to talk about how we communicate soon, and you need to use your class name, your first name, and I'd really like you two to keep separate like that so that we don't get grades, you know, in the wrong slot between the two of you for things. So, but if you're Christine, then you're going to be distinct from her, so I think we'll be okay. But next time I'll pass around a sheet where I ask you to give me the class name that you'd like to use in here, and then I'll have a record of it. We're not going to do that today, but... Okay. Leung Matthew. Wenwan Lee. Thank you. Is it Z Lee or Z or J?
Here, I go by
Jeff. Oh, you go by Jeff, okay. Eric, oh no, sorry. Xingu Lin. Okay. Eric Liu. Fenghuang Liu. Sabrina Liu. Barbara Lopez. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, hi, Elena. I was thinking, gosh, that sounds just like Elena Lopez's name. Yeah. I didn't read far enough over to see the Elena. Okay. Chelsea, gosh, is it Maine or I was... It is Maine. I wondered about this. Okay. Mansoor? Martin, Jessica Martin, Corey, is it Marriott? Yeah, that's what everybody's telling you, right? Emma Mayberry, Emma Mayberry. Mayberry, Emma. No, okay. Andy McMullen, that's a yes. Emiko Minatoya Shields. Emiko Minatoya Shields. Pretty name. Michelle Nam. Terrace Ng. And Nishimoto. Kazu, she's lost. I'll put that down. Lost. David. Yeah, David Oda. Park. Only one Park. Park. Hi. Yeah, you are the one and only Park in this class. Rihanna, I saw you back there. Pollock, Jenna. Poon Hopkins or something like that, yes. Quinn. Ramirez. Reyes. Sadamitsu. I don't think he's here yet. Ryan, did you get here? Oh, there's Kazu. Welcome. You're not lost anymore. Andy said to everyone that you were lost. You talk to him about that later. Singh. Spitz. Sri Wilai. Hi. And is that okay? Is it Sri Wilai? Say it for me. One more time. Okay. So it's not Sri, it's Sri, right? Okay. And Sam, I think I saw you, right? And Faye, Stringer Faye. Yeah. This is a lot of people. Marianne's here. Terazaki. Gosh, I just love this name, but I can't say this name. Identify yourself. You know who I'm. Yes. What do you go by as your first name?
Short, Kamakani.
Yeah, Kamakani. So pretty. And how do you use your last name? Do you do the hyphen? Do you say both? Okay, can you tell to me?
Tiwanek
Finkus. Okay, it's pretty. Regina, Toll?
Yeah.
Is it Toll?
Yeah.
Okay. Tong? 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 Tong, thank you. Tran, Andy. Trillo? Is Trillo it? Tsui, Michelle. Is it Tsui? That's me. Wong. You. Wong. Wang? Wong. Okay. Almost there, folks. Brian Williams. Whoa, wait a minute. Did I hear just two hears? Okay. That's accurate. Kevin Wong. Wong, Kevin. Wong, Kevin. That's a no? Okay. Leah Woods, thank you for your email. You emailed me, right? Have we exchanged emails? No? Daniel Wu? Jimmy Wu? Alan Yang? Alan Yang. No, Alan Yang. Unti Yang. Is it Unti? Is it Yang? Okay. Amy Yi, Amy? You here? Hi, Amy. Yokoyama. Hello. Yoshizawa. And Young, Derek. Okay. Now, if you, if I didn't call your name, it means that when I downloaded this list last night, around 10 or so, your name wasn't on it. But the B-Space rosters refresh once every 24 hours and at some mysterious time, but probably sometime after I downloaded it. So you may actually be on the roster right now, but if you, whether or not you are, I need to hear from you today if I didn't call your name, so that I know that you've been in the room, okay? And we can work on things. I've got time after class. Is there anyone in that situation that has to zip out of here right away, can't talk to me, he's got to go? What's your name? Last name first, please. Okay, and first name?
Grace.
Grace. Have you enrolled yet?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're probably on the list. Or you're waitlisted, okay. So just fill out one of these cards today, and we should be good. Did you say M as in Mary, and then did you say E as in elated? Okay, and then D as in darn it, I'm here? Okay. Okay, almost a meadow, but an R at the end. Got it. Okay. Phew, okay, done. Jeez. All right, so I need to, I'm going to put the website up on screen for a minute and proceed from there. So, in for this class, oh, nothing, okay. All right. So the how it will work is that if you need to know what's going on in this class, I usually make announcements in class, but I don't always do that. Sometimes it's too busy to do that. I assume that you're going to this site every, I've explained it somewhere, but about every 48 hours you should look at this. And if it's, I won't make any changes within the last 24 hours before a class that would be required of you. I will email you if that happens, if something comes up. But this is where I put regular announcements for things. And you are color-coded, and you're brown. Please don't worry about the other classes. Okay, they're all on the same page. I'm teaching three classes this semester, and you are brown, and you are here. Okay. So that when you're going to the website, you should always go through this page instead of bookmarking the schedule. because you'll miss the announcements if you go straight to the schedule. And I assume that you are reading the announcements. So you start here. And if you're curious about it, other things that I'm doing in life, this is my top page, my public page. This is all my public website. And our classes are here, but there's other sorts of permanent pages down here of things that I do that might be helpful to you, especially this one. Well, actually, both of these. This has, I kind of hate to say it, but some of you are going to find out anyway. So we read both of these in class, and I have a summary for every section of this on this website here. So the summary of all of your readings for A Tale of Heike is here. And extended, more comments than you would ever like to see on The Tale of Genji is on this page here, if you want to see how I'm doing. I was about a year ago, I sat down and I started reading Genji very slowly with the original open and a couple of Japanese translations, a couple of English translations. I'd read across all of those and then make some comments about what I think is going on in that chapter, that section. I'm on chapter 13, I think, now out of 54 chapters. It's going to probably take me 5 years to finish this. But anyway, you can go take a look if you want. So this is, when I'm a little bit more organized, this may be linked in, but you can always go to our page right from here. And the only other thing I would say is that I'm using Frames, and this is a little bit old program. It's Dreamweaver, but it's an old version. And so you need to refresh your browser because you won't know that you're seeing the last announcement unless you dump your cache. If you're using the same computer and go back to it, you should refresh your browser so that you understand that you really are seeing the last announcement. Okay? That's a concern of mine, but I haven't been able, if there's anybody in the room that knows how to tell me how to refashion my website to prevent the need for asking students to refresh the browser, let me know. But so far, no one has told me. And then we go here to the web page, if we're connected to things. Oh, it wants me to do it over here, too. Well, isn't it picky? Wow. We're here, for goodness sakes. We're just going to go like this. Okay, we'll go back, and we'll go here, there. Okay, so this is now kind of old information, but you might want to still take a look at this. This is a jump menu. It usually, I'm not always that good at refreshing this, so this will get you close to where we are. You may have to scroll down to where we are, but this should jump you pretty close down the schedule. This class is podcast, so you can go back and hear lectures if you need to, or if you've missed a class, you can go back and hear them or a portion of them. This is our BSpace site, and these are my other classes. This is really for me because it's easy. I go back and forth between the websites all the time, so I have direct links to my classes. And then this is the top page that we were just at. Then take a look at the green practices. Please, it's just a short paragraph. But you can do it one way or the other. It's just that if you feel like you want more paper than I'm generating, because I don't use very much paper in this class, or if I'm doing anything that's I'm doing to be green that's interfering with your ability to learn, let me know. That's basically what that says. The more important sites are here and here, and these are substantial, and you need to know about these. And this academic honesty page is now extensive, as in extensive. You got the message? And there's sort of a key to it over on this side, so you can go back and check things. You're going to need to know this later. So this is new. I wrote this in June and July, and I vetted it with about 20 students after I wrote it. I think it's in pretty good shape now. This is very important to you. You need to read this. I've designed it so you can read just the highlighted portions, and you'll be safe. But if you do not read this page, you are not safe in this class. You may get a D or an F on something that you thought was not plagiarism or you thought was honest practice. So you very much, definitely, absolutely need to read this. I've designed this so that I can fail you. Okay, because I had a student who squeaked by last semester because I caught him at plagiarism 15 minutes before I was going to submit grades for the class. And I wanted to fail him because it was flagrant plagiarism. But I showed it to a couple of students who said, you know, some people are going to say that maybe that's paraphrasing. He had paraphrased everything. He'd changed about 5% of the wording. And so I don't consider that paraphrasing, okay? I consider that lifting the quote. So this shows you my boundaries, and I didn't have those explicitly stated at that time, and I let him pass with regret, actually. I let him pass a class because I didn't feel it was on paper clear as to what the boundaries were. This is clear. And if you don't think this is clear, you have to ask me. If you do not ask me, I assume that you've read this and that you think it's clear and you understand what I'm saying. Okay? Is that clear? Okay, that's one. And then this one, there's only one thing that you really care about here, but I'd like you to look at this. But you can just read this blue part if you want and be done with it. But if you want to know why the blue part is there, you can look down here. And if you want to play games, you can click on these. And if you want to see the articles that I've been basing my comments on, they're down here. Okay, so you can do that, or you can just not do any of that and just read my blue page there. It just basically says, don't multitask or I get pissed off. Okay, and it'll hurt your grade. That's basically what it says here. And no laptops, unfortunately, although I've tried it over and over again. I've given up. It turns out to be something that doesn't work for now. Later on, when you guys are less obsessive about your electronic equipment, we can do this again. Right now, if you're not touching it, you're not alive. It's just like that. Okay, so that's basically how it works. Let's go back to the schedule, because I think it's kind of important. Oh, yeah, office hours. So I've just announced these about 30 minutes ago. These are my office hours now. And it's a total of 2 hours, because we were just told that that's what it should be. So I used to have more hours than that. So what I've done is announced these as my official hours. But as we get in times where I'm used to seeing more students, either before exams or when papers are due and stuff like that, I will have extended hours, and they will be announced here, specifically what they are. And meanwhile, if you need to make an appointment because these times don't work for you, then these are the times within which you could make an appointment. So it's not just any time. It's email me saying, you know, take a look at this, and then email me saying, could I meet with you Monday at 9:30, blah, 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 like that, and instead of just what time is good for you. That's how that works. Also, I do doodle.com when I'm getting lines in front of my, I have about 300 students, so I can get lines in front of my office hours, and I use that sometimes to create a schedule, and then you know exactly when your time will be. It's efficient for you, it's efficient for me. That will be announced up here if I'm doing that. Right now, we're just doing regular office hours. So that's office hours. And then let me go here first. I have now published our syllabus. Actually, there's a version 3 coming soon, but it's just got a few. They're just some typos. And this you should read. If you read this note, then you will know to read the rest of it. Okay, so read at least that paragraph and then proceed at your own risk if you decide you don't want to read the syllabus. It doesn't fly with me, the excuse, but I didn't read the syllabus. Okay. I heard that one a couple of weeks ago. They wanted to, you know, do something. It's like, but I didn't read the syllabus. I'm going like, hello. The syllabus is our shared document. When I'm going to grade you, mine, as you can kind of guess, a lot of my stuff is long in this class. Syllabus is too. Okay? But a lot of this is just junko for you. I mean, if you're just curious, if you're the sort that just likes to know, then it's there. But the essential stuff is also there. And it's organized. I think you can tell what's essential and what isn't. So you need to look at this, and you will know how I'm going to grade you. And when I grade you, I actually look at this so that I remember how I promised I was going to grade you. So it is a transparent joint document. I use it, and you use it. And so we both know where I'm coming from on something. Okay? Later on, these things will be filled out. There's some class stuff here. You're going to have to do an RP soon, and you don't know what it is. So when I first announce an RP, you're going to click on this and find out what it is, okay, and do it. We'll talk about that later. Then this one is the last sort of warning. We do a paper, an extensive paper in this class, and this is the web process set of web pages that steps you through that process. And so you need to know this. And it starts right at the top. This will tell you basically what's going to be coming, what you should look for, and the goal, and all of that. These are all here, basic comments. And then as each step is due, if you want to do it, this is the specifics about those steps. And then down at the bottom, very nice stuff, is if you want to do research, these are basic research sources, how to use them, how to do efficient searches at our library, stuff like that, if you want to. I have some comments on good writing that I like to make. And essay mechanics, these are the things that you're going to need to be able to do at the end for us. This is the list of you know, where to put your periods and commas and stuff like that. That's all here, and it's for you to use instead of me talking about it endlessly in class. Okay. And it's design, yes, there's some work involved, but it also eliminates work because you know what you have to do and you also know what you don't have to do. So you don't have to go overboard doing stuff because I don't require it. This will tell you what is what. And you can drop the class now if you want. looking out there in the room as people are looking at these things and going, oh my God, what have I got myself into? I think I'm going offline now. Let's go back here a second. Ah, yeah, I had to go back up. One last thing back to here is this. So I get about 3,000 student emails every semester. Okay, so I had to create a system to manage those because I was spending all my time scrolling back and forth through my inbox to try to find something and see if it was there or not. So I created a system to communicate. Now, the fundamental idea here is that instead of ignoring your emails, I have created a system to communicate. Okay, I want to hear from you, but I need to know that I heard from you because otherwise there's just too many. So this is not to make it difficult to reach me. This is to make it to create an expectation that if you've written me, you should be able to hear from me because I really know that I got your email. And I think a lot of people just manage their emails by saying, well, forget that, and just move on. Okay, so I don't do that. Okay, so I say that ahead of time because you're going to think that this is a really neurotic system. But it's but it's what I need to make things work. For example, let me bop over here. This is the final submission of May 2010, J7B. People are sending in their last document. And this is me trying to log in 90 minutes, everything that's happening that day. Okay? And this is all nicely aligned. Because of the system I use, this is alphabetical. So if I want to know whether Lauren Miller submitted it or not, I go right down the list. Okay? I don't have to run a search for every single student. They're all collected in one place, and they're all right there. Okay, that's what I need. Okay, because I've got three classes. They're all sending in a lot of stuff, and I need a system so that I can filter out the not use and capture the use and work with that. Okay, so the basic idea there is there's our class number, underline, assignment tag, underline, your last name, underline, your first name, the class name you're going to use, like what we were talking about between the two of you, underline. And then sometimes there's a keyword over here. Sometimes there isn't. That's the basic setup. There's no spaces. And there's no spaces because my computer will put you in the wrong place on the alphabetical list if there's a space in it. So it's always something underline, something underline, something underline like that so that you're where you should be. So when I'm logging in, I don't say late penalty because I don't see you. Okay? You're not there. This is more important than you even think it is. In 5 minutes, you'll know why. Okay, so if you just... I'm going to show you a PowerPoint, and if it's just blown right past you, you can go back and look at it again here, okay? It is available again. So this is the way it looks. This is, where's my PowerPoint? Gives you a little visual representation. Assignment tag's red, keyword's going to be green. This is a typical submission from Annie Toyama. You can see how everything is the same, always, in her emails, except that the assignment's changing, okay? Does that make sense to you? Da, da, da. Nothing's changing but the assignment. So once you get used to how you write your name, you just do it over and over and over again that way. Then, when there needs to be a keyword, it comes tacked on at the end. I don't really care about this underline here because I've got you. Once this is in row, there's no more Annie Toyamas in the alphabetization. It isn't really that necessary. But you can do it or not do it. That's okay. And so she's tacking on questions, final grade. Some of you like have written me about enrollment. You have seen me create this subject line, and it said enrollment issue at the end. That's my tag for remembering everybody's enrollment issue. I make up funny words so that I can search for them, usually. So they're tossing all this stuff. So here's a guy. He's submitting, and I'm accepting. He's submitting incorrectly because it should be RP instead of PR, and that is going to put him like, he'll be invisible. I won't even know he submitted anything to me unless I happen to catch it because it won't fall into a box. And I tell him not accepted. And then he submits it correctly and it's accepted. You see that? Dun, 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 dun. Like that. Okay? Then here's Joe, not accepted. And then This is the basic problems that happen. People forget to put the J here. People forget to put an underline here. People just don't read the instructions at all and just write randomly what they want. Or they're very general and they just say question, okay? I love to have your name. I love to have your name in an email. It's really good in the subject line, okay? And then when you're attaching, you'll be attaching documents, and when you're submitting stuff to us, these are the things that happen a lot. You send it to the wrong people, or you make it an email when it's supposed to be an attachment, or you make an attachment when it's supposed to be an email, and you use this. The reason that I require DOC instead of DOCX is because I do not require my GSIs to purchase new MS Word versions to be able to open your documents. So we stay with the older version, so you'll have to remember to do, and that's the case here. So .doc is where we are. And then here, review. Bum, bum. It's okay, right? It's not that hard. Make sense? Great. So the one other thing about this communication style, and I really like to be clear about this, and this is new this semester. Those of you that have had any other class with me have not had this system before, so reboot your mind. This is the way it works now, is that the paper process, which is a four-step process with multiple submissions, with multiple deadlines, has been made flexible. And so you get to submit things on your own timeline. And what that means is that instead of sitting down like at 11 o'clock on a certain night when something was due and going through all 90 students to see if they submitted and then writing them back if they didn't, I look at the whole list and I check them off and then I write the people, I never got anything from you, what's happening here sort of thing, which was a protection for you. I have taken away that protection because you are now free to submit whenever you want to, and I'm not going to sit down every single night and collect all the emails for submission again and see whether you submitted or not. So I have moved the responsibility from me checking to see if you submitted to you submitting correctly. And when I did that, I also had to move it to the GSI. So there's things that you'll be submitting to me, there's things you'll be submitting to them. And it used to be that I was the gateway. Everything came through me, and as soon as I told them it was an okay, they would start grading it because I had this control system in place. And I've let go of that so that if you have submitted to your GSI, you'll see this in the instructions later, but and you haven't heard from them in 4 days, you should probably write them because they probably don't have a system, or they're not using their system, or you didn't submit correctly. And it's your responsibility to make sure that your submission was noticed and is getting graded. And especially on the paper process, because we don't require submission on some of these steps, so that if we don't find it because you sent it wrong, we just assume you didn't submit anything. We don't go looking for it. And you may be waiting for an answer endlessly because we don't know that anything exists. So there's chaos in the room for this, and the only way we can survive is for you to be accurate there. And I'm not going to be the one. You can do this, okay? There's a certain number of students that never can do this. I'm not quite sure why. They just can't. And I know that. But even those students, I really want you to just get it right. Try to get it right, please. Okay. And we'll see what happens. Because there's reasons why I changed the deadline system. Okay, GSIs. I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves next time because this is always a busy session, and because there's some people coming and going in the first session anyway, so they'll say hi to you. They're here, they're in the room, but they'll say hi to you next time, and you can ask them questions about their life, polite questions. And I just posted their email addresses to BSpace. There was an old document up there. If you've already gone to BSpace and already grabbed GSI emails, those are GSIs from last year. And they're going to ignore you if they're done with you. They did so many emails with students, they're just going to ignore you. So the new document went up about an hour ago, and that has their email addresses on it. It's not on the website because my website's public, and then it can be spammed. So it's on a little text document on BSpace. You need to know their addresses, both of them, not just your GSI. And I'm going to try this semester, not today, but beginning next time, I'm going to ask one of the GSIs to be sitting at that desk at a chair looking at you guys, and I'm going to rotate through them in some fashion. I think it's really, they're here to teach you, but they're also here to practice their own teaching techniques. And you learn so much from seeing the faces. I can see everything. I can see when you're like doing your homework instead of listening and all that. But it's okay, because we're just doing orientation. But okay, I can see a lot from here. You'd be surprised. And so I'd like them to be up here and be able to see that, so they can see what works and what doesn't when people are being attentive and when they seem to be drifting off because they feel like I'm wasting their time with something. So I'd like to try that. And it's going to be painful for them to be sitting out there by themselves over there. And I don't know if it's going to work, but we do have one chair, one rotten chair. And I'm going to try plopping them over there. And we'll just see what happens. They're not there to police you. They're there to be looking at you and seeing how you're thinking, okay? I'll see what happens. But that, if you see somebody over there, that's why. Mention that. And then also you should know, again, for teaching reasons, that unless you specifically say in your email that this is confidential, any email exchange between any of us may be shared with any of us. Okay, it's very typical for me to bounce it around saying, you know, when you get this sort of student asking this sort of question, you don't even have to answer that email, sort of thing, okay? we have this sort of problem. This is a growing problem. I've seen this in the past. I don't know what's going on here, but this is the third time I've seen this. I really like communication between us. I will ask them to be copying me on a lot of their emails out to you. I'm not reading over their shoulder. I'm not policing them that way. But it's very efficient for us to be sharing information. So unless you say something, expect your email to be private between the three of us. We don't send it to anybody else, but we share it between the three of us very often. So know that. And by the way, don't waste our time by asking me something where I tell you no, and so then you ask them to see if they'll say yes. As we share those emails, we see that all the time. And all right. Then there's two things that I will be, a couple of things. If you're having problems with your GSI, and I've never heard that yet, because GSIs are really nice, I think, most of the time, anyway. They look nice. But if you're having a problem, try to work it out with them. If you can't, talk with me about it. And if you feel like there's an unfair grading going on or something like that, if you just think that they're bad teachers, I mean, I can't do anything about that either. You could tell me, but I can't do anything. I don't think that will happen. But anyway, you can reach me. Try to talk with them. If you can't talk with them, talk with me. That's okay. You're not stuck. You're not stuck. You're not alone. And there's one special request I've made of them this year. It's going to make more sense in a second. But I am setting for you a paper topic that requires creative solutions on your side. And I have made the topic particularly difficult so that you will not be able to find a solution easily, okay? And I have told my GSIs that they can only help you with work you've completed and comment on it. They cannot help you with solving the problem. So don't come and say, I'm stuck. Come in and say, I'm stuck, but I think maybe I can do this, and give them something to work with, okay? Because the whole point of this paper is going to be to get you in a little bit of an uncomfortable space where you don't know really what the next step is, and you discover it on your own. And they will be subverting the whole purpose of the essay if they say, if you're just looking at them with those doe eyes and saying, I just need, you know, can you tell me this? And then their teacherly urge gets all wonderful and lively, and they just want to tell you something. And they're supposed to be badasses at that point and say, well, you can solve that. Okay? I'm going to ask them to do that. So please do not later on your evaluations that you'll write for them, write down that they're unhelpful on that. Okay? I've tied their hands. That would be unfair. You can write that on my evaluation saying, you know, he's tying the hands of his GSIs. They're not as helpful as they should be. Tell me. Okay? Don't tell them. It goes on their record. It's not fair. Okay? It's not fair. So that's one thing. And then as far as sections go, they start next week. We don't have sections this time. And there's one week during the year, I think it's the last week before Thanksgiving break, but I'm not completely sure, where I have canceled sections because they have so much grading to do from you guys that I'm giving them that 3 hours, 6 hours, whatever, and then the 20 hours they actually really use to prepare for sections in a week to grade you instead of sit down and have section that time. So you'll hear the dates later on. You have to go to the section that you're registered for. We can't bounce back and forth. I feel very strongly about that. So you're just going to have to do that. I think you create a chemistry in a room, and when people bounce in and out, it spoils the chemistry. So you have to be there in the section that you're registered for, or your attendance will not count. The purpose of section is to talk about the readings. It is not to talk about the test. So they cannot review the test in section. They wouldn't anyway, because I write the test, I grade the test, and I usually write the test the night before I give the test. So they wouldn't be able to say anything to point about it in any event. I won't be talking with them about this is what I'm going to test. I will give you a review sheet, and they'll have the same sheet. They don't know any more than you know. So a section's not for test review, and I want to underline that because I got a request from DSI last time because they were getting complaints on their student evaluations that there was no test review in section. And I told them they couldn't, so they didn't, and then they got the low marks because of that. So please talk to me about that. Don't complain to them about that. That's my policy, not their policy. Okay? All right. So some basic, okay, that's the mechanics. Done with the mechanics mostly. This is the big issue stuff. Right off the top, I should say that you don't have to be a fan of Japan to be in here. You have to be curious. You have to be intellectually curious. You have to be curious to want to know things, but you don't have to like this country, okay? Don't feel like this is a fan club, okay, for the country. You can do what you want with it, okay? That's fine, but be curious. And then a very large policy change that I have made since the summertime, and this is for students that have had 7B with me previously, is that I'm putting a lot more on your side. You're responsible for reading the instructions. You're responsible for getting things in on time, and I'm just letting it go. And if you don't do it, you don't do it. I used to have a lot of guardrails up to protect you from a low grade, warning you and reminding you and stuff like that, and I pulled all that out. There's reasons why it got to be that bad, but you can do it. You can stay on top of your own deadlines. You can submit things. You can ask me questions if you're not sure. I will be happy to answer, or your GSIs. But there's a lot more than in the past, those of you that were in 7B last time, that you have to develop on your own rather than me telling you what it is. I say this every semester, and nobody ever listens to it, and nobody believes it, and I don't know why. I don't bluff. If I say that I fail students, I fail students. I don't bluff, ever. I'm careful about what I say. My mind is censoring what I'm saying all the time. If I've said it, it's because I think it's good for you in some reason, and a bunch of other stuff's been eliminated before I said that. I don't blab. It may seem like it, because I just do it like this. But there's a plan, and if I'm saying something, there's a reason why I'm saying it. And students seem to miss some really important stuff because they just kind of seem to click it off as like, oh yeah, well they all say that. Like, read the syllabus. Oh yeah, well everybody says to read the syllabus. Man, if you don't read the syllabus in this class, I don't think you can get better than a C, and you may not even be able to pass. So read the syllabus, okay? I really mean it when I say it. I don't say stock things. I say things that are important to you. Okay, I'm never going to say that again, because I usually say things just once. I don't have time to say things twice. And I figure you've heard it the first time. And now that things are podcast, you can just listen to it over and over if you want to. I mean, you can go to sleep listening to a looped version of the first 5 minutes of class or something. Okay, class goals. Okay, I have got two specific things in mind besides delivering certain information to you about pre-modern Japan. Okay, that's important. In addition to that, I am very interested that you either use your skills as a good reader or develop your skills as a good reader now or extend your skills as a good reader becomes a better reader. I'm interested in you reading well, okay? I want you to read well. You're going to have to read quite a bit. It's kind of a waste of time to be as good a reader now then as you were now. Pre-moderns especially like this, those people were really good readers of the stuff that was written. They expect the reader to be educated, active, creating the context, very active role of the reader. And I'll be asking you to do that. That's a large goal, and it colors everything. Can they read the instructions well? Can they read this well? Have they done that well? Do they read their research well? Did they read the research for ideas instead of data? Did they read in a critical, alert mind? And it's on the web about that. You have to read. You cannot skim in this class. It doesn't work. You can't skim pre-modern stuff. You just can't. It doesn't work. It's not that way. So reading is going to be always what I'm asking when I'm grading you on anything, when I'm trying to get a bead on whether or not you're getting it in this class. I'm going to be asking that question, are they reading well? Are they reading well? You can read well and not read everything, okay? You can read everything and not read well, okay? It's not a thing about the quantity. It's that creative, critical, active mind that's trying to piece this together while you're reading it. And it's not details necessarily as to who did what to whom, especially in Heike, it's just awful. It's this kind of like, well, why do they do that? You know, why would they let her die there? That's just like this red flag for me. They shouldn't make her die at that spot. Why does this story think it's cool that she's dead, writing a poem on a stone? And ask those questions and try to get inside that world. That's what we want done. That's very important. That's big goal number one. Big goal number two is what I've been mentioning about, let's transition to it. The problem with neutralizing prejudices is that you don't know you have the prejudice, so you don't know to neutralize it, right? So you just get stuck in this box and you keep seeing the same thing over and over again. And when you read quickly, the way that you read quickly is you're matching to preconceptions. You think, oh, well, I know that. Don't have to. Oh, I know that. Oh, I know what a syllabus is. You have a preconception that allows you to go through things quickly, but you're not really doing anything but just spinning around in the same world that you're always in. And so that the idea here is that somewhere along the line, once or twice during the term, you might encounter that it's a really wonderful moment when it's like, I have been wrong about that all these years. Oh my God. You know, there are times when you get out of your box. And classical, better than modern, I think, is a very good situation for that because it can be so puzzling. And your urge to normalize it into something that you're used to blinds you to what's going on. Like, I saw a little clip a couple days ago. This is ancient, say, 4th century, 2nd century playtime between a man and a woman where they are meeting each other, and they're going to go off in the woods and make love if it goes well, okay? So he's identifying the woman in the group that's standing there as the one that he wants to sleep with. And to let her know that it's her that he's thinking of, he asks her her name, okay? And in poem style, he doesn't just ask her, he writes a poem that's really fancy, but tucked away in there in one little line is, I need to know your name, okay? That's the real message of the poem. And then if she answers a poem that says, like, well, you know, my name's kind of like, it's kind of like the grass, then it's kind of like the trees, she's saying, go away. But if she gives him a hint that's good enough that he can guess the name, she's saying, you look as good to me as I look to you, okay? So she gives a hint back but doesn't give the name, so then he presses for the name again, and now she gives enough information that they know the name, done. That's marriage, okay? But it's marriage for the night. Okay, but that's it. That's all they did, because then she went and she raises the kid by herself, and he may or may not come back and help with that. It's all over. Okay, so there's no way that you're going to be able to. If you saw that going on the screen, you would not be able to figure out what's going on if you brought your preconceptions of what a wedding night is going to be. It's not going to make sense to you. Everything's going to be weird. Like, first of all, poems. You know this why and names why and all of that, because the name thing has to do with the whole thing of saying yes. It's a coded way of saying yes. It was on the name. So you need to puzzle things through, and if you do that, if you can learn to do that, then you will be a better whoever for somebody at some time. Because when people get together, you know, and those of you that have been together know that you live in much more separate worlds than you think you did. And sometimes where you think you have joint expectations or joint ways of thinking about something, it could be a year, it could be 10 years before you realize that all of this time that person has never thought like that. And that for the first time you realize how different their world is from yours. And so to be able to learn to listen to people and to look at the world and to approach situations in this sort of frame of mind where you can see something besides what you always see over and over again, you are a problem solver, you're a good listener, you're remarkable when you can do that. I think that's really important, and that's where a lot of emphasis is in 7A for me, is to give yourself that chance here and there to discover something that you didn't see coming. I discovered at one point that I was chauvinist. I had no idea that I was chauvinist. And I think probably 100 women told me I was chauvinist before it got through. And then one day it got through. It's like, wow. Oh, my God, I am so embarrassed. I had no idea. My intentions were good. I thought everything was great. I had no idea. I had no idea. And I was just blind to it. I just thought I was being a nice guy all the time. They weren't thinking that. You got to have the ears and the eyes to notice things that don't fit in the way you expect them to be. And that's part of what this class is about. Okay, moving on. Paper. Got to say this because you might want to drop the class. Okay, this paper, you don't need to write any of this down because it's written down for you already. This is just to share verbally at the moment. I will be expecting you to write a paper grounded in good research, but that is interesting to you and the reader, shows creativity in its observations and conclusions about the topic, keeps in mind its utilitarian aspect, and is completed on time and in good form. That's what I'm going to ask of you. It is a substantial part of this class, but it is doable. Okay, we are here to help you. But we want real papers. We want it to come from within you. It should be meaningful to you. And what is different, very different than many of the papers you write, is the perspective is that of the reader. You are writing to be valuable to the reader. You're not writing to prove that you studied something for me. So your paper is as if it were going to go out in the world and stimulate other minds and be credible and be worthwhile in some way to other people. You have to think about what they want to think about. And you go in those directions. And one of the steps for the process is vetting your ideas and asking your GSI or me if that looks interesting or not. Would you care to read about that? You think about what would be interesting to others. So the orientation is outward towards the reader. And that's why it's in good form. That's why it's organized. That's why it's interesting. And it's creative. It's like, you know, you can tell me about sword making, but I already know about sword making. But if you can tell me something new about sword making, wow, how cool. You know, I didn't know about that. So the idea there is to bring something to the table that's fresh, creative, and interesting, but grounded in research. And you'll have these two topics. We'll talk about this in other detail, but you're going to have to bring together two diverse things. Like, with the GSIs, I said, like, tell me what is common between Lady Gaga and the Statue of Liberty, okay? And that's meaningful to American culture. And if you can tell me that, and I read it and say, yeah, you know what? I think you're right. I hadn't thought about it, but I think you're right. That's kind of neat. Then you've accomplished the goal. Okay, something like that. So, but it's not going to be about American stuff. So, better not be. There's the one last thing on that, and then I'll move on. Short answer. There's going to be one paper deadline that you're going to have to make. It's step 3. It's around November 13 or 14, but it's on the schedule. That one, everybody has to submit, and has to submit on time. The late submission penalty for that is, I think I put a ceiling of D+ on the paper, even if it's a quality paper. If it comes in late, it's a D+. Okay, so that which basically means it exists, but I'm not grading it, but I'm giving credit for it existing. There's that one deadline. There's a lot of other suggested deadlines. If you want help on developing an outline, if you want your concept to be run by to make sure it's okay, if you want to see whether we think this bibliography list is okay, you can submit things, and we'll give you feedback. And then you can reassure yourself before it comes to that step 3 that really gets graded and really means something, you will have gotten feedback ahead of it so that you're safely positioned, so there's no surprises. But if you think you know what I expect from you and you just like writing your papers in one night, you can skip all of that, you can throw it together, you can send it to me, and you'll get an F, okay? Because part of the process is that you've done real substantive research. You cannot do that in a night. And you've done a draft and stepped back and reread your stuff critically and wondered whether it floats or not. You can't do that in a night. So you're going to have to be a little bit ahead of the game, but the instructions are there. If you think that you can meet what seems to be the expectations, you don't have to do anything for the paper except submit around November 13th that one draft. There's another draft due after that, but if you don't want to bother to do it, we'll use the one that was submitted on that day. So that's the one real deadline, but it is a real deadline. There's no excuses, okay? You know, this is still August, right? August, a whole month. Let's just count it as a month. Month of August, September, October, 3 months ahead of the deadline. You know when it's due. Something like that, okay? All right. So, and then one last thing. I'm mentioning all the killer stuff, okay? If you do not pass the paper process, you cannot pass this class, regardless of what your scores are on anything else. And the reason is because this class, as many of you know, because that's why you're here, satisfies a writing requirement. And so if you pass this class, I'm also making a statement to the university that you have written a paper that is sufficient to be make a statement that you have fulfilled the writing requirement. So regardless of anything else, you don't need to do wonderfully on it, but you need to pass the process to get a passing grade, even if you're past no pass student here. Any questions about that? I would guess not. Okay. I have to say something that's difficult, but I've just depressed you guys so much it's hard to say. I have to say this. Okay. So how things are said in lecture, how things are written, those nuances are important. Okay? So when you're kind of like, just picking up the information or just saying like, I will get that information later from the web. I know what I'm supposed to get, I'll get it later. It's not what this class is about. It's the nuances. And so that's what is different. That's what's different and what gives you the power to read pre-modern and gives you a perspective on your own situation is not the basics. People fall in love, people die. People kill each other, people have wars. All that's the same. But it's the nuances about that are different. And that's what we're talking about. And so you need to listen to the lectures and take notes that will somehow capture what seems to be that not just the main point information, but something about how something's being talked about. My tests are based on my lecture notes, so you'll get an opportunity next time to write this on the back of a card that I'll be handing out. If you have language issues and you're having problems hearing me or understanding what I'm saying, I need to know that. Let me know and write it down, because the test will be based on the content that is delivered from here more than anything else. It will have some reading, but we actually cover the reading mostly through the RPs, so it'll be the content here. So skip class at your own risk and see where you are on that, because I will draw from the lectures. So I want you to know that up front. And then this is something that I'm going to be emphasizing more than I have in the past. I've tried now 2 years in a row to make this fly, and it's still not, but I think now with the new paper process it's going to. The kind of the heart and soul of this class is the discussion about the various aesthetic terms that will be coming up. And these are inevitably the lectures that the students go to sleep in about 5 minutes. And the reason is in part because it's strange material and the mind's just kind of like shutting down, saying, I can't even get a handle on that, clunk, like this. But it's inside that you're going to find the answers to your paper writing process problem. Because if we go back to Lady Gaga and the statue, you can find common ground there because you know American culture. You start going through the various American culture things and say, well, let's see, is it freedom? Is it consumerism? Is it, all these things that you could draw on from American culture to try to find a common thing. But you don't know pre-modern culture to do that, to solve the problem. You find out about pre-modern culture through those aesthetic terms, through the reading, but the aesthetic terms kind of guide you into how you should be thinking about this reading that's coming your way. So it's not esoteric stuff, it's important stuff. It's the life vests that are out there floating in a big black ocean of pre-modern stuff that doesn't make much sense. So try to capture those meanings. Not easy, it's not easy, but it's important. We also do thought systems, that's easier. We'll talk about Buddhism, we'll talk about Confucianism, we'll talk about yin-yang system. These things were part of the way that they saw the world, and it helps you understand how they saw the world by knowing that. But that stuff's not that hard. But the aesthetic terms are hard. They are. Some of them aren't, but some of them are. And please beware when I'm talking about that that's important content. Difficult, important content. Then even though this says it's Japanese literature and culture, what we really mean by culture here is not like you know, it's mostly high culture, cultural arts type of culture, not just culture. So just so you know what the boundaries are, because we get a lot of papers where they want to talk about, you know, what was the original onigiri in Japan. That is important, and it's a good thing to know, but it doesn't fit in within this class. This is the high cultural arts class, basically. You can do dance, but you can't do onigiri, okay? You may be able to find a way to do onigiri, but it's going to have to reach somewhere besides just being onigiri. Okay, and then workload. One thing I'd like to say about this is that I want you to read well, and whenever I'm taking that position in a class, I reduce the amount of reading so that you have time to read well. And I haven't done that yet. Everything that's on the schedule right now is my old reading list, and I'm going to be trying to stay a couple of weeks ahead of you, rereading everything, and seeing if I can chop things down into shorter pieces so that there's a little bit less reading, so you have a little bit more time to read thoughtfully while you're reading. So beware about leaping ahead and reading something early, but you may find out that half of what you thought was assigned has been dropped from the schedule. So if you see it and if it's due the next day, you should read that, because I'll be ahead of you or I won't be able to do this. I don't know which it'll be. But I am trying to reduce the readings some. And I may move some of those down just to optional. I may just erase them so you didn't even know they existed. But watch the schedule. That's what you'll know what you need to be reading for. And then I would say, generally speaking, I don't consider that the reading level for this class is, because it's a literature class, is that high. Students do think it's high. I don't. But, you know, hey, we don't always have to agree. But I do think that this is what is different, is that I do lots of things to check to see whether you have done the reading or not. So if you're the sort of person who, when the reading list is long, you just don't do the reading, then you will feel that there's a lot of reading in this class, because it's harder to just to get away with not doing it, okay? In that sense, there's real reading involved, and that you may feel a burden there. And I'm mentioning this in case you want to get off the wait list. And the other thing is the paper process is a substitute paper, but it's not massive. You can make it that way if you want to, but it doesn't have to be. There's a lot involved with it, but I don't think it's that huge a thing. But you do have to do some research, you do have to do some thinking, and you do have to write it pretty. Okay, you have to, you know, spell check it and get the form right. But it doesn't have to be long, and there's comments about that. It's around, I think kind of we're doing an average of around 1,700 words, which is about four to five pages. I get 60-page papers sometimes, and I've even gotten a one-page paper that was damn good. And if what you need to do can be done in a page. After I read that page, I said, yes, that was substantive research. Yes, that was a creative idea. Yes, that was interesting and valuable. And you can do that on one page. You can do it, okay? But it can happen. You know, if you've got a great idea, some great ideas, take like Facebook, that, you know, were not very long when they're written out as an idea. Later on, there's lots of code, I'm sure. But the concept itself, you know, how long would it take? Somebody say, wouldn't it be neat if we could all just kind of share online with this stuff? It would take, what, a minute to explain? Very powerful idea. It's sailed. So if you've got a good idea, the better the ideas are, generally the shorter things become, because the idea is so massively good, you don't need a lot around it. So it could be possible. It's not likely, but it could happen. Yeah, could happen. Okay, so da-da-da-da-da-da. So here we're going to do the really short version of the periods that we are covering. From the perspective of culture, this is not official historical time periods. This is the way that I look at it. So, and the way that it'll be taught. We're going to spend a brief amount of time with tens of thousands of years of prehistory. One day, next time, done. But we do look at it, actually, origins of Japan, stuff like that. And then we spend a lot of time in this next period, which is like the high classical period. This is the Nara period, the Heian period, about mid-700s, mostly through the end of the 1000s, a little bit in 1100s. And that's my area of specialty. That's what I really love. I know the best, and it's the groundwork for what we do in the future. So we spend a lot of time there. And then the next one, war breaks out. There's a lot having to do with war. And the Buddhist reforms happen about the same time as war breaks out. And Buddhism, which was present in the country, was not widely distributed among the lay people until this time. So up until then, it's there as an institution. Now it becomes something that everybody's talking about and thinking about, and it has a huge impact on the arts going forward. So that's war and Buddhist reforms period. And then basically over the next 300 years, they run with those ideas, and all sorts of things develop. This is when the tea ceremony comes up. This is when sword play comes up. This is when flower arrangement happens. All those things happen in 1300s to 1600s as these arts are developed. And then we do this little 20-year period called the Genroku period. Well, it's depending on how you measure it. It's 20 to 50 years. But the Genroku period, there were three remarkable people that all lived at about the same time and wrote really good stuff, and we do all of them. And you've probably heard of these people, like Chikamatsu with his 47 loyal retainers, or Matsubasho, Narrow Road to the Deep North, or maybe Ihara Saikaku, who writes all of these sorts of short fiction, erotic short fiction. All these people are very different, living at the same time, and it was a flowering, it's a very interesting period, and we look at that. And that's what we do. Basically, it's those four areas. And one of the reasons that I'm giving you the outline of this is because part of the paper process is that you're going to have to draw from diverse areas on the timeline. And these are your dividing marks. So if you did two things in the Heian period, it would not satisfy the conditions of the paper. But if you did one from the Heian period and one from the wartime period, it would satisfy the conditions. These things are fundamentally different periods with different sorts of aesthetic values. It will be hard to bring the two things together. So these are the dividing points for that. That's the basic blocks of the class. Prehistory is I don't cover it much. I love it. It's really interesting stuff, but we don't do much with it. But there's a whole lot of stuff to do with it. And there's new research going on all the time, so we know more about these people than we used to. It's pretty interesting stuff, but we don't do a lot in this class. We spend a lot of time with the Heian period. And then I don't like war, but we do a lot of war anyway because we kind of can't get around it. And then the Genroku period. That's it. Questions? Okay, time for reassuring comment. I like teaching you guys. I like this class, and I start out liking everybody. You have to work at it for me not to like you. You got to do some pretty crappy things along the way, okay? So you're in a safe space now, and I like to trust people. And so, you know, just give it a shot. If I can tell that you're trying, you're safe in this class. If I think that you're BSing me in any way, I'm kind of done with you in this class. I like openness. I like honesty. I want you to work with me. I really don't want you to give me the standard anything. I want you to work with me. And you won't probably know it. I'll probably just start ignoring you. But basically, I'm here and accessible, and I want everybody to be successful. I want this to be a good experience for you. I want it to be a fun experience. If it's stressy, and it will be, but if it's too stressful, talk to me about it. Don't suffer in silence. I had somebody do that last semester, and he had had emergency surgery, and he was just telling me that he couldn't come into class. If he had at least said, I am in ER, I cannot come to class, it would have been so helpful to know. But no, because he doesn't think that, you know, he thinks that I'm a badass and I'm tough about all of my deadlines, so that he can't say anything. And so he just says, I can't come. And I'm saying, like, well, if you can't come, then, you know, that's it. And his mom interceded, actually, weirdly. But so, don't be so nice that you don't tell me what you need. But try to meet the deadlines, try to follow the instructions, try to make it happen. Don't waste my time. I will try not to waste your time. Try not to waste my time, too. We're all busy. None of us likes our time being sucked up by somebody when it doesn't need to be, right? So submit things correctly. Try to do things right. Ask good questions. Enjoy life before it all goes dark. I didn't say that. Oh, my computer just went dark. Questions, worries that you're willing to say in front of everybody? Otherwise, you can say it to me after class. Yeah. How do you guys feel about other people eating in class? People that don't like that, put your hands up. There's one of you. That's probably not, there's a couple of you. It's not distracting to me, I don't think. Now, as I get tired, I have problems. I really give complex lectures. The whole thing is here in my mind. And when I'm getting tired, I'm beginning to lose it. And so if you're doing things that are making me lose it, then I might say. because I'm like starving right now, and it may be like, oh man, that looks so good. You know, so I don't mind, but I do like you to think about the people around you, and you know, like don't dump your stuff on them or on their property. You know, be courteous and beware of that. Generally speaking, in Japanese classes, don't try that in a Japanese language class. I would say stay away from food. Sit there politely and properly and do your stuff. Yes? You have to manually type it in, yeah. There's no link out of, well, yeah, I mean, there is, but BSpace is so clunky. You have to go to the syllabus, and then it'll show you where it is, and then maybe you have to cut and paste it from there. I don't know. So forget that, yeah. BSpace, you know, I mean, I say this on the syllabus, but everything happens in the private world. My private website gets 40 to 60,000 hits a month. There's people watching this. There's people watching you. And everything that's for the public is there. And then stuff that's copyrighted and grades is on BSpace. But nothing else is on BSpace but material that I don't want to make available to the public and your grade stuff. Everything else is happening on sonic.net. That gives me flexibility. BSpace is wonderful, but it's a clunky tool, as you know. Other questions? You're so ready to get out of the room, but stay put. Can you guys, please, that means Marianne and Brian, work one side of the room and hand out cards to, if you are waitlisted or if I didn't call your name, then fill out one of these cards. If you do not fill out this card, I will assume that you don't want to take this class, okay? If you are enrolled, you do not have to fill out a card. But please stay seated because they're not going to be. It's going to be chaos, and some people that need cards aren't going to be able to get them. Yeah? The okay, so ask your question. Are we up on screen? Yeah. The syllabus is on our main website. Okay, this says, this is our main website, okay? And the syllabus is there. And the only thing, you can, I mean, you can answer this question yourself later, but this will tell you what's on sonic.net and what's on BSpace. Yeah, so if BSpace should be automatic for you if you're enrolled or if you're waitlisted. You've got access. It should show up. Right? Is it showing up?
Yeah.
Okay. And so this one, sonic.net, just Google me. Just say, I mean, you can go through BSpace, but just do Wallace Classical Japanese, and I should be the first hit right there. But you can go through BSpace. I mean, it's listed on BSpace. You can get there. Okay.